Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. Today's date is March 22nd, 2013. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and here's a look at what we have coming up.
Tonight, Congress demands an investigation into the massive arms buildup by the DHS, and FEMA is federalizing police for domestic war. Plus, the Cyprus bank crisis is escalating, and Alex Jones talks with America's number one populist, Jim Hightower, in studio, up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Our top story, and this is one of Alex's big stories yesterday on the Alex Jones Show, Obama now head, global head of Al-Qaeda. This is straight from InfoWars.com. It's written by Paul Joseph Watson and Alex Jones. President Barack Obama is now the global head of Al-Qaeda, bankrolling, arming, and equipping terrorists around the world in order to achieve his administration's geopolitical objectives, while simultaneously invoking the threat of terrorists domestically to destroy the Bill of Rights. Moving on down, the administration has spent nearly $500 million, $365 million plus another $60 million, and is now using U.S. special forces to train militants in Syria who have pledged allegiance to Al-Qaeda and who continue to carry out grisly beheadings, terrorist bombings, targeting innocent civilians, and chemical weapons attacks against women and children. Down at the end of this article, and this is an amazing article with tons of links, I encourage you to get this article out to everyone you know, because they're going to read this headline and go, what? You can't be serious. But you know what? There's links in here, and at all points, to one man, that's Barack Obama. At the end here, by backing terrorists in Libya, Afghanistan, and now Syria, Barack Obama has carved out a role as a global head of Al-Qaeda. Wherever on the map his administration wants to dominate geopolitically, Al-Qaeda terrorists flood in to do the dirty work, and it's all paid for with your tax dollars. By ordering a drone strike on the White House, Obama would be targeting the primary source now responsible for the most of the world's global terrorism, his own administration. These are pretty big words. These are powerful words. You got to read this entire article. I wanted to cover this today because I was actually took a day off yesterday, but I listened to the show using my iPhone app, the Alex Jones iPhone app, which is free. Of course, you can get that on the InfoWars listen page. And I was listening to the show, and I remember at noon, Alex said, I got big news. We're going to launch it at noon. And he went into this whole Obama being global head of Al-Qaeda. Very important article. You need to get it out to everyone you know. Equally disturbing and well-written on the same page is Melissa Melton's article, FEMA federalizing police for domestic war. Don't think DHS is capable of something like this? Well, look at this career and jobs out of the U.S. Army. Internment resettlement specialist. That's a 31E classification. And basically, your job duties are to put people in prison camps. There it is. External security to facilities, counseling, guidance of individual prisoners with rehab program, records of personal internees and their programs. All very loving and brought to you by the people who are buying 2 billion bullets. What could they be buying 2 billion bullets for? Tanks, assault rifles that they say are personal protection devices. Okay, this is all from the same group of government forces. Well, now we've uncovered a document, which apparently is very hard to find. If somebody wants to send it to us, you can send us the information at, send it directly to me, Rob D at InfoWars.com. It's Rob D at InfoWars.com. FEMA's Center for Domestic Preparedness site is a listing for a program known as Field Force Operations. That details how DHS has been training state and local law enforcement to prepare for and successfully mitigate threats involving civil disorder should a national special security event occur, or NSSE. Activities included in this course are massed arrest procedures, team tactics, demonstrator tactics, crowd dynamics, and mob behavior, use of riot control agents and less lethal munitions, and the employment of personal protective equipment, or PPE. And some of the training critical skill sets include understanding the 1st, 4th, 8th, 14th Amendment to the Constitution and how to work around those, I guess, is what they want to do, because they're not going to respect your rights at that point if they're using less lethal munitions. I actually witnessed one of the first uses of the LRAD device on American citizens in Pittsburgh in 2009. And I can speak from experience that this is a very painful device, and it was brought on by, it was used on a crowd of peaceful demonstrators, and it was used to, they'd done nothing wrong other than marching on the streets and wanting to be heard and wanting to tell the leaders of the G20 that, hey, we don't trust your global economic program that you're trying to sign us onto. Let's continue on this article. While these courses have been available for several years now, it puts the bulk of the weapons, ammo, and riot gear purchases into much clearer perspective in regard to exactly what DHS is gearing up and training our law enforcement for. And that's mass arrest of the American people. That is what they've been training for. You can go get the documentary Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. It details basically everything that's happened up until 2010 of what they've been doing. It includes the underwear bomber, how they use false flags to just start taking away our rights. I mean, we've got it all in there, and we're continuing to put this stuff out on Prison Planet TV. We've got special reports done by Alex. We've got the 2 billion bullets. We broke that story, and we're going to have more on that later. But it's just increasing. The tide is starting to turn on these people, and we have to keep getting the word out.
Well, hold on. The tide is turning. I'm coming on the nightly news.
Now, here comes Alex right now with a special report. Hey, Alex. There's the mic right there.
Watching you do the news. Yeah, you're doing a great job. And when we say we broke something, we're not saying we broke it like we're big studs. You broke it. You helped us force it out in the mainstream. Now they're having congressional investigations start up.
Right.
And if we can force them to talk about the military-industrial complex preparing for war with us, what they call black helicopter people. Now, that's mainly military vets that know a takeover drill when they see it.
Right.
Been warning us. We've held it back this long. Now it's building up. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, it's like your video you did about military training to shoot people who don't turn their guns in. That's what the manual says. That's been seen almost 2 million times.
Well, and that's what a guy who was there called into the show and talked to Mike Adams. He said, hey, we were kicking in people's doors saying, we're here to help. We're here to help, but we want your guns. And that's what they were going after. And it wasn't pretty, and it was during a time of crisis. So they were using the crisis to go in and
as a beta take people's rights.
Exactly.
So the point here is that the government wants to collapse everything by design to make you a slave, folks. We've got to get upset about this and get out of our coma and get out of our fear-based mind control.
Exactly.
Life is happening, and it's all about your destiny to resist this. Anyways, I'll let you back to the news. It's just
right.
That you're doing a great job, and I wanted to point out that thanks to the listeners, the viewers, the drudgereport.com, you know, getting these stories out, they've gone from denying it and saying it doesn't exist to this being a big deal. Because, see, they denied it because it exposes them.
Right.
Now we've caught them in a lie, which shows the criminal intent.
Exactly.
They lied.
And now they don't want to talk about it.
Absolutely.
They don't want to talk about it. Now they're going to pretend like, oh, nobody has.
Yeah, so everybody watching this on the nightly news, everybody that watches this later on YouTube, make this video get 2 million. Great job, dude.
All right. And that takes us to our next story, actually. 15 members of Congress demand investigation into Obama's ammo hoard. This is by Paul Joseph Watson, came out today on InfoWars. This is a story that the Watson brothers broke and that we just pushed to the forefront, and we didn't stop talking about it. And that is why it is out there. That is why Forbes magazine wrote an article saying we have to have a national conversation. That is why Luke Radowski went out and asked Congressman Timothy Huelskamp, hey, what are we doing about this? And he said, you know what? I have questions. I've asked DHS, and they're not saying anything. They're being tight-lipped about it. So we need to start asking the dung beetle more questions. We need to find out, what are they really preparing for this for? It's not for target practice. These are hollow point bullets. Why are the targets that they're ordering of pregnant women and old men with shotguns in their homes, standing in front of books, kids with guns? I mean, this is all insane. Do these people really expect that we're just going to wait for them to come round us up and start killing us because we don't agree with what they're doing? No, we're going to stand up and we're going to say something, especially if we see something. Well, let's keep going. This is from Paul Joseph Watson. You guys saw the video yesterday where Luke Radowski interviewed Timothy Huelskamp, and he said, yeah, they refused to let us know what is going on, so I really don't have an answer for that. Well, now we have California Congressman Doug LaMalfa and 14 House peers have written a letter to the Department of Homeland Security demanding to know why the federal agency is buying so many rounds of ammunition and whether the purchases are part of a deliberate attempt to restrict the supply to the American people. See, they can't come out and ban ammunition, so they buy it all up so no one else can buy it. That's one tactic. Yeah, they could be doing that. They could also be getting these weapons for a 20-year war. That's enough bullets. what they have for a 20-year war against the American people. What have we done? Oh, we don't like war? We don't like endless wars? We don't like our money being created by offshore entities and then loaned back to us at interest? Oh, yeah, we're bad people because we don't like that. So get this article out. 15 members of Congress demand an investigation of Obama's ammo hoard. Which leads us to our next story. This is from the CNS News. Police departments beg and barter for ammo while DHS buys up 1.6 billion rounds last year. Of course, they didn't get the memo. It's up to over 2 billion now. There's the sign there. We'll work for ammo. With the delay in ammunition, some departments are limiting the number of rounds they carry in their handgun because of the shortage of ammunition. We get to the point where it is difficult to have enough ammo to train and also equip officers. And that is Police Chief Cameron Arthur of Jinx, Oklahoma. And he also says ammunition and assault weapons in general have skyrocketed. He's talking about the prices. In addition to the fact it's not only a lot more expensive, but the time could be 6 months to a year, in some cases even longer. We started making phone calls and realized there's a waiting list up to a year, and we have to limit the amount of times that we go and train because we have to keep an adequate stock. That is totally insane that we don't have enough bullets for our local law enforcement. Is that done by design? So then when the crisis happens, this economic meltdown that everybody says is about to happen, except for Bernanke, he's just saying keep giving the Fed more money because we're going to come back, and when the stock market crashes and people lose their savings, we'll be able to come back and buy everybody's property and their houses and their vacation homes or pennies on the dollar, and then we'll just keep getting more and more and more. Takes us to our last article. Cyprus bank insolvency crisis quickly escalating may set off EU Bankageddon. This is from Natural News, Mike Adams. As you have suspected, there's far more to the Cyprus bank crisis story than meets the eye. It turns out the shutdown of the Cypriot banks has caused a large-scale financial shutdown of the Russian government, which uses Cyprus banks for most transactions. On top of that, the EU Central Bank has now issued an ultimatum that threatens to revoke all financial support and crash Cypriot banks if they can't come up with 5.8 billion euros by Monday, Reuters reports. Now, if you listen to the Alex Jones radio show yesterday, he had Greg Palast on talking about it. And then today, Paul Craig Roberts, two great economic minds, both guys that have spent their you know, many years, professional careers, studying this type of stuff and studying economics and how it works and how bank crises happen and how those meltdowns happen and how they even talk about it, creating that mob scene of crashing the bank and then watching the mob come in. So then that is the precursor to get the cops in there and start beating people over the head, like what you've seen in Europe already. And it says there, you're about to witness massive wealth destruction. And that is directly from Mike Adams himself. So, and just to let you know, we're about 2 years behind Europe. So what's going to happen there is going to quickly make its way here, and it may accelerate. We may be 6 months, we may be 12 months away from what's happening in Europe. The only thing we can do is get the word out and start waking more people up so that this becomes a national conversation, like the 1.6 billion, which is actually 2 billion bullets. The only way this stuff happens is when you get out there and you start waking people up, you start talking about it. We're going to go now to our quote of the day, and this is from John Adams, and I'm going to do this in my northeastern voice. Here we go. All the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from the defects in their Constitution, our Confederation, nor from want of honor or virtue, so much as downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. And that is John Adams, our second president. And we have much more in store for you today. We have an interview coming up with Alex Jones and Jim Hightower, Jim Hightower, known as also the number one populist out there. They go through a myriad of issues, especially covering drones. And then after that, we're going to have, I think it's at least a 20-minute Ask Alex, or as he likes to call it, an Ask Christy, where Christy Hightower, the moderator from PlanetInfoWars.com, gets to sit down and types in your questions that you send in. And I was the cameraman on that. And let me tell you, they're great questions, a lot of good questions there. And you too can ask Alex your own questions by joining PlanetInfoWars.com. There's the website there. There's the Ask Alex section. And basically, you just join, you become a member of that, and you send your questions into Christy. She collates them, gets them ready, and then sends them out to Alex, and then we put it out on the air for you to see. Also consider, if you're watching this on YouTube, to become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It pays for everything you see here. I just looked at some behind-the-scenes stuff we're about to do. We're about to build a massive set. This is going to blow even the mainstream media away. I'm really impressed with this. We're working with the same designer who helped us work on our little fireside chat set where we had the bookcases and the nice chairs up in the mat behind there. Sort of our, let's have sit down and have a nice cup of coffee and talk politics and the New World Order and these crazy people who want to destroy our way of life. And with that, we're going to go to break, but we'll be back with much more. It's InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm your host, Rob Dew.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com. Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus, the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro-distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus, get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants. So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
InfoWars Magazine is more than just our answer to the internet kill switch. We're also going back to the roots of this country. When our founders, for a decade before 1776, known as the pamphleteers, with hundreds of little printing presses in every colony, got out the real news, the real information, and countered the system. This is tailored, designed with the truth to wake up your friends and family. This is the 21st century version of the pamphleteers. So get them at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up and buy them in bulk. Sign up and be a micro distributor for a full year to buy them in bulk and get one of the newsstands added, or sign up and get 12 issues delivered to your door or give a gift subscription. Whatever you do, be part of the fight. And I want to salute and thank all of you that are subscribers and are getting the magazine in bulk or who have ever come to InfoWarsStore.com and bought any of our products, because we are supported by patriots and liberty lovers like you. We couldn't do it without you.
And welcome back to this Friday edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Coming up after this important interview, we're going to have the Ask Alex segment with Christy with your questions that have been sent into our social network at planetinfowars.com. Don't forget to follow us as well at The Real Alex Jones on Twitter. And we have links to our Facebook and everything else at infowars.com and, of course, infowarsnews.com. Now, I got a chance to meet him years ago going on his radio show, and I've run into him around Austin. And anybody who lives in Texas knows who he is. Of course, people that watch national news know him as well. He's a best-selling author. He is known as the Road Warrior. He travels. He gives over 100 speeches a year. He was twice elected Texas Agriculture Commissioner as well. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. I mean, he really has an amazing bio. Jim Hightower here in studio on the Nightly News. And then, of course, we're also going to air some excerpts of this on the syndicated radio show. Great to have you, sir.
Great to be with you. Thank you, Alex.
Wow, so much is going on. When we wanted to get you on the show, you guys were like, well, what do you want to talk about? And I said, whatever Jim wants to cover. So what do you have front and center here for us to show the TV viewers?
Well, the latest thing I've been working on is in my newsletter, the Hightower Lowdown, is on the drones. I did a issue on that and had been writing about it for more than a year, and now it's really popping up in the media quite a bit, in part because of the Brennan nomination to the CIA, and he's the kind of the father of the Obama, well, the Bush and now Obama drone program abroad. But the take that I took was they're bringing the drones home. And I don't mean to put in mothballs, but to skirt around our skies with enormous consequences for our basic civil liberties, the ability to constantly spy on us. This is not just a little advance in technology. These things, they've got one that has the capacity, they call it, to hover and stare at you. They can be in the sky for days. They can be tiny. The size of a little model airplane, and then all the way to very, very big ones that can be in the air for, as I say, for several days and cover huge distances. They've got them down on the border watching supposedly for undocumented people coming across, but the ones they're using there have a range, the camera itself has a range of about 600 miles, so they can be on the border and watch Austin.
Right. And, I mean, they've even arrested people in North Dakota for cattle rustling using Department of Defense predators.
Right. Yeah.
And it seems like, because I was looking over some of the articles you have here, we're going to show some of the viewers in a moment with the document cam. Out of the gates, they're saying, we're going to surveil you with this. We're going to weaponize them. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's worrisome at the very least, and we ought to know what the rules are. You know, that's what Rand Paul said the other day when he was doing his...
Did you like his filibuster?
Yeah, I liked it very much. And I did.
That's a populist thing to do.
I did a
You're the number one populist. You're known as that.
Yeah.
I mean, and the both the right-wing and left-wing media tried to demonize it,
right.
Like, you're not supposed to filibuster. I thought that's like Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Well, and it was a real filibuster. I mean, he stood up for 13 hours, you know, and talked. It wasn't one of these technical ones like Mitch McConnell does all the time. You know, I submit a piece of paper, and therefore the bill isn't considered. Rand Paul actually stood up, and John McCain assailed him, said that he was one of the crazy ones in the Congress, and that it was not helpful to the American people. Well, I thought it was very helpful, because for the first time, substantial portions of the American people were hearing about these drones coming to America.
I agree.
So
I think
he did a service, you know, right there.
And it kind of backfired a few days after they demonized him. All of a sudden, his poll numbers shot up. They're talking about him running for president because people want somebody to stand up and voice these concerns.
Yeah. And the beauty of the drone issue is it's crossing all the lines because Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, was standing up there.
They're now questioning Obama.
Yeah, well, of course. And the Democratic caucus has written a pretty scathing letter to the Obama administration say, you really need to tell us a whole lot more about these things and what your plans are, because people are getting alarmed, because now we're learning that police agencies at all levels are wanting to get a hold of these little things. The New York Times called them Orwellian gnats, because they're talking about not a few, they're talking about 30,000 of them. By 2020, in our airspace. Now, this worries airline pilots, because how do we control these things? It worries the FAA. It worries all kinds of civil liberties people, right and left.
Did you see the Department of Defense video? If not, we'll show a short clip of it, where a drone flies over and drops out hundreds of little ones that land on the wire at your house and watch you?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. And they have another one called Swarm, and it's a series of drones that can keep track of large amounts of people. So they're certainly going to be used in demonstrations.
I'll tell you what, let's show a short clip of that.
Micro air vehicles, or MAVs, will play an important role in future warfare. MAVs will be integrated into future Air Force layered sensing systems. These systems may be airdropped or hand-launched, depending on the mission requirements. Multiple MAVs, each equipped with small sensors, will work together to survey a large area. Information from these sensors will be combined, providing this swarm of MAVs with a big picture point of view. Data will be communicated amongst the MAVs to enable real-time, reliable decision-making and to provide an overall surveillance picture for other platforms or operators.
So there you go, folks. That's just part of the clip. It gets even scarier. That's what you're talking about.
Exactly. And these, you know, this isn't theoretical. And everybody from the ACLU to Ted Poe, a member of Congress, a right-wing Republican from down here in near Houston, are teaming up on legislation and wanting to not only answers but wanting to ask Should we even be doing this? Should these be loose in our skies? Because they're going to be used not just by the police authorities, but, you know, corporations are going to get a hold of them. They're going to want to know what their competitors are doing. Some protest groups, I would, if I was leading a protest, I'd want to monitor what the police were doing.
I think it's going to start a domestic arms race in drones,
right,
and counter-drone technology.
Well, that is what the industry hopes for, of course. And by the way, we're talking about the old military-industrial complex. We're talking about General Dynamics, Boeing, Honeywell, Northrop Grumman.
I saw where they're buying thousands of these for police departments at a tune of $400,000 to $600,000 for a glorified remote control chopper, and then they crash them the first time they launch them. Did you see that in South Texas?
We had a little incident down in Montgomery County. The sheriff there got one, and he was so proud of it, he wanted to show it off. It's called a press conference, and he wanted to show the whole thing, so he had his SWAT team there and his armored personnel carrier and all that, and so the drone took off and everything was going fine, but then the drone was supposed to land, and they lost control of it, and it crashed into his SWAT team with the armed personnel carrier. So that was a little embarrassing right there, a little more publicity than they wanted, but it's a very serious thing, in part because here's another kind of technology that we're just going to unleash with absolutely no rules really written so far. Now, they're not just throwing them out there at the moment. The FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, is in charge at the moment. Now, Mike McCall, a member of Congress from right here around the Austin area, he heads the Homeland Security Committee. He wants to turn the regulatory authority over to Homeland Security. That's a bad mistake because those are the people who are hustling these.
Yeah, why even have a Congress or states, for that matter, if Homeland Security is going to run everything?
Yeah, and they're pushing them. They have a grant program, so that's how the sheriff in Montgomery County got his drone.
I saw $400,000 to $600,000 for that little chopper, and reportedly they're trying to give thousands out. I mean, that's creepy.
Well, and again, you know, it's big business. You're talking about these major military corporations that now become the drone industrial complex.
Well, that's like, well, you've written about this, and I've heard your radio show, and you've talked about it for years. Now it's a hotter topic, thank God. The private prison industry gets deals with states to guarantee 90% occupancy, and we have the biggest prison population in the world. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, and then the occupancy is dropping off, and we don't know what to do with those prisons, you know. And they said, well, maybe we could convert them into hotels for the homeless. You know?
Sure.
That's a good idea. You know, so I don't know. It's boondoggle. That's what it is. And this drone thing is a combination of that kind of mentality. You know, what we need is a bunch of...
You know what I'm seeing happen, Jim? And again, if you're listening on the radio, Jim Hightower is here where this TV viewers can see him right there. I see a separation happening. You've got everybody in the middle that just wants freedom and a fair shake.
Sure.
Populist, which
right.
You talk about. America's number one populist, as you've been known for decades. And then you've got the establishment types on the left and right and outside of that who just, you know, want to be in control. And then you've got those of us, sure, we can say we're in the middle, but there's those of us that are really awake who really aren't in the middle trying to wake up the mass. But I see this issue of thousands of giant armored vehicles, drones, 2 billion bullets, which the White House tried to deny. Now they've had to admit. Now congressional investigations are starting. I think they've always tried to say, oh, that's the black helicopter crowd. Well, now they have all these drills. It's real. Yeah. And I see that this, at a populist level, is what's actually triggering the sixth sense of the folks that just want to be left alone. Because, I mean, here you are. You're concerned about this. You've always been concerned about it, but you're really concerned about it now. What do you see about the awakening that's happening, that people are realizing the Republican and Democratic parties are like two heads on the same monster?
Yeah, well, you don't have to be in who's who to know what's what. You know?
Sure.
And people are picking up on just aspect after aspect, everything from our food being, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, teaming up with Monsanto to do the genetic hormones, genetic altered.
A lot of conservatives are now getting into
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely,
that's good.
It's very good to have these right left things come together because we find common ground on something that is really, as you're suggesting, about people having power again versus the elites, either the moneyed elites or the political elites running everything. and ignoring the agenda of the people themselves. You know, the people can be for something and it's just not even talked about in Washington or in our state capitals. And so people are getting fed up about that. That's what the Occupy movement was about. That was the original impetus of this, of the Tea Party. It got co-opted by the...
Sure, Ron Paul first started it. I remember you five, six years ago being supportive of it because they were challenging, you know, the war and all that. Right. And then it got neoconned.
Yeah.
Where do you... you're a smart, savvy guy, obviously. Looking into your crystal ball, where do you see this going? You know, the forces of corruption and stagnation versus the forces of people that just want justice.
Yep.
I mean, how do you see this unfolding? Because clearly the power structure is answered. I'm going to show people some of these shots if we can. The power structure is trying to gear up for some type of war against the American people.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but I do know that they're putting these things out, and then we get these articles like this that basically make them seem cute. You know, isn't this a cute little machine? And this is from North Dakota. The University of North Dakota offers a degree in drone flying now. And they have these, you know, nice-looking young couples and people who are out there just, it's great.
So they're trying to make this the new economy.
Yeah, it's going to be a sweet little thing. You know, it's going to be nice. And there are... there can be good uses for drones. You know, if somebody's missing, all right, it's not a bad way to try to find them, you know. But you need warrants, and you need rules.
You know what this really is? This is the rollout of the robots. They're just getting us used to drones, because now they're talking about combat robots. Are you worried about troops not being able to say no to illegal orders in the future when it's all robots and drones?
Well, I am. I'm worried about robots becoming our workforce, too, because that's where industry is heading. You know, they now talk about the new normal of unemployment and underemployment. So it's not just now a matter of them sending more and more jobs and professional jobs abroad for cheap labor. It is now... they don't have to have a workforce to mess with because the robots are now getting highly skilled.
Well, I thought globalization, I thought globalization was supposed to give us more jobs, and then we were going to be service. Now we're not going to have that. Looks like the future's not going to need us if Foxconn, that Apple uses, is replacing its workforce with the suicide nets with robots.
Yeah, and this is happening in the industry. For example, the warehousing industry is moving very fast toward robots. Used to have thousands of workers. Now, you know, robots can move around and do the stacking and lifting and putting into trucks and that sort of thing. So we're losing thousands of those jobs. You know, that globaloney that we got sold two decades ago, really.
Sure.
Now is, you know, spoiled.
And again, we were bipartisanly sold it. Whatever comes down from the big guys, it's just almost always bad. You said you don't know about them preparing for war. I mean, you've got TSA checkpoints now in downtown Austin. I can show you the news. I mean, they're doing it now randomly. You've got Homeland Security setting up all this domestic spying. You've got threat fusion centers. You've got police being basically militarized and federalized.
Right. Right.
I mean, the answer worldwide by states during this implosion and this planned economy is to gear up a domestic police state apparatus.
And you ask, where is this going? Well, the good news is that the people of the country are revolting in the very best sense of that term. The people are rebelling against this. They're rebelling against economic irrelevancy. They're rebelling against the manipulation of our food supply. Nearly all of it is at a local or sometimes at a state level. But there's tremendous activity out there of people creating their own economies. We've done that in the food system. You know, 20 years ago, the agribusiness giants thought they had taken it all over and that they owned it. But here came what I call the upchuck rebellion. These farmers who didn't want to use chemicals, consumers who didn't want that stuff in their food.
And you kind of led that.
We helped here in Texas when I
mean, you don't toot your horn, but I mean, people all over the country talk about first hearing about that from you.
Yeah, well, we helped to get the farmers market thing going again.
Yeah.
What we did.
And that's revolutionary.
It was at the time. You know, I mean, it is amazing. But to me, the... you know, the free and free enterprise is not an adjective, it's a verb. You got to free people up. And so the marketplace was locked. And so our role was try to not to own anything or manage it, but to open up that marketplace so good people, producers, could get together with consumers in a more direct fashion. And so,
well, see, you have the fake free marketeers who are always like deregulate the big guys, but then they always bring in their own corporate regulations against little guys. How do you communicate against a deception like that? Because you mentioned the food revolution. Yeah. 15 years ago, and of course I'm preaching to the choir, but please say this in your own words, Jim, you couldn't find organic food. But you said, start going to the farmers market, start supporting the farmers. It will build a base to then be in the stores. Because I remember hearing you 15 years ago say that. Yeah. It happened. And then you said that revolution could lead to other revolutions, and you're one of the only, quote, liberals, and I know you're not really a liberal, you're a populist, who actually does want to empower people. Because I just see most liberals as hardcore authoritarians, just like most so-called right-wingers. You know, I try to get past those labels. So talk about that revolution that you talked about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, back when you were, you know, land commissioner, all that. Break that down.
Well, exactly. You know, we looked at the, when I came in as ag commissioner, got elected, and then, well, what are we going to do? And I talked about various issues in the campaign, so we looked at what we could actually do for various constituents. Take farmers. What did they need? Well, they needed to diversify their production. Instead of just having cotton and cattle or wheat and hogs, have some organic vegetables. Have some hormone-free beef. Have some, you know, different things, wildflowers even.
Choices.
Yes. And then you're not dependent on commodity market that you have no control over. Be able to sell as directly as possible. So we organize co-ops to sell to supermarkets, to sell into the international market, and then help farmers sell directly to farmers market. And then get off of the heavy cost inputs like chemicals. And so reduce your land in imprint. And more money comes to you. And then fourth, to become a processor yourself. So more of the food dollar goes to you instead of the 19 cents out of the food dollar that now goes to the farmer. You get in on that added value of, you know, doing some frozen veggies or, you know, packaging some stuff.
And again, that's at the Texas Agriculture Commission level that was duplicated so many other places. Right. But then you expand. Now, the Empire Striking Back, they're really trying to clamp down on this now, big agri is. And so how do you counter that?
Well, the old-fashioned way, which is you go to the people with it. One, they're already generally aware of it. And when you learn, as I was just writing this morning about Monsanto Corporation, now basically monopolizes the seed industry in this country. And that's pretty important because that's where our food comes from. So you control the seed, you get control.
And they don't want us labeling.
Right, they don't want to label that stuff.
How dare people know it's in their food?
And they've been very active politically and lobbying, and they're the biggest agribusiness lobbyists in the country. And they have the FDA and the USDA fairly much in their pocket, but whether that's Democrat or Republican that is in there. And they've been allowed to do this stuff. In fact, Justice Department was going to do a big antitrust action against them. And they spent 2 years investigating, and then they folded. They just folded their cards and went away.
And no matter if it's...
Wouldn't even say why.
And no matter if it's Clinton, Bush, or Obama, the revolving door, now the main regulators at the FDA and EPA, it's all Monsanto people.
Yeah, well, might be all over on this issue for sure. But again, the people, you know, once they know about this and can be pointed towards some kind of solution, not just rebellion, go in the streets, but actually do something about
sure.
it, they hook into it. And that little food rebellion you mentioned, I felt that it could create other rebellions for the simple reason that once you get a little taste of success, then you move it forward to something else, and then you become a teacher.
Nothing succeeds like success.
Yeah, and that is happening all across our country. So I'm a lucky duck in that I get to travel a whole lot, and I see what's going on. You know, if I got my news off of just the nightly NBC, Fox, or CNN, any of those, then I'd be pretty depressed. But being able to get out there, you've got a sense of people building and making a difference, and it gives you a really a good feeling about America.
We've only got about 14 minutes left with you here. I've been throwing out quite a few questions. Before we forget, tell us about the newsletter. Tell us about the, of course, you were doing the syndicated radio show. Now you're on about 150 stations doing vignettes or commentaries.
Yeah, it's the Hightower Lowdown, and it's my monthly political newsletter. We've got about 120,000 subscribers to that across the country. And I take on different issues from a populist angle and try to lay out an issue in a way that's about a complicated issue that's fairly clear. That's the goal of it. And then we always have this little item right here, the do something box. So you don't just get depressed by it, by reading the facts of it, but here's some groups that you can contact. For example, on the drone issue here, we got the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Great people.
Great stuff.
We wouldn't have any internet freedom if it wasn't for them. They're just...
Yeah. This group called Muck Rock. You can go to this website, muckrock.com, and they've got open government tools for you to be able to find out if your own police department is getting these drones already. What's going on? They don't even tell us.
You know what I found? People think fighting corruption is like work. Once you do it, it's addicting. Yeah. Have you found that?
Oh, yeah.
Why does it feel so good to do the right thing?
Well, I say that, you know, battling the bastards is about as much fun as you can have with your clothes on.
Exactly. battling the bastards.
Yeah, and that's an old Texas tradition. You know, people look at Texas now and they think, oh, there's a big corporation, big oil, and very, very conservative Republicans. But this was a state settled by populists, by malcontents and mavericks and mutts.
Oh, people that have been, gotten out of the other states.
Our first state constitution outlawed banks. You weren't allowed to create a bank in Texas because the people had been ripped off so badly they didn't want to have anything to do with them. To form a corporation, you had to have a two-thirds vote of both houses of the Texas legislature. So that spirit, I think, is still out there, and it's a fighting spirit. So people. Really
Why do you think Texans are known all over the world for fighting spirit?
Because we are a bit sassy and generally have a pretty good sense of humor about it, and a sense of, you know, oh hell, hold my beer here and let's get it and take care of it, you know. So that kind of an attitude that you grow up with. You know, I grew up in Denison, Texas, which is north of Dallas, right on the Oklahoma border, and we considered ourselves the first line of defense against the Okies.
So, I grew up pretty close there in Rockwall.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know why I love Austin? Not everybody's when I grew up, it was fist fights constantly.
Yeah.
And you come down here, I kind of like the fact that it's laid back. Nobody's looking.
Yeah,
was it the same for you growing up?
Yeah. I was a small guy in a small town, and I learned early on you should never hit a man with glasses. You should use something much heavier. So I think that spirit's there. But, you know, it's really everywhere. Places that have their own culture, that's New York, or that's Boston, or that's New Orleans, or even out in California, they've got their own spirit. You know, it's a different kind of
especially in Northern California.
Yeah, right. So it's there.
I'm surprised how much Northern California is act like Texans, we act like them.
Yeah.
I guess that's from the old 49ers and people, though.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, I guess it's always frontier people. They're always going to be more whoever goes out there. You know, it's funny going back to drones briefly. I bought the Sunday paper. I saw it in the store last Sunday and forgot to bring this in to cover it. Mm-hmm. So here we are 5-6 days later. But Texas warily embraces drones. No one I know. Here, guys, name it this Austin American Statesman article. No one I know is embracing drones.
Yeah.
Everyone hates them in government hands. And now government's saying we're going to regulate them and not let people have them. They're going to have model airplanes as that. But I mean, that is not true when they say.
Exactly.
But that's part of that bandwagon effect. Well,
exactly. That's right.
People love secret arrest. People love NDAA.
But you read the article and they're not citing people saying, oh, we love these. In fact, it cites the, Austin police chief, Art Acevedo.
Who killed the plant.
Yeah. Who said there's nothing to think about. I didn't see the value. I didn't see the need. There's a liability there for peacetime use in an urban environment. So
wow, good for him.
Yeah, exactly right.
Wow, I mean, that's, so, yeah, there
that
it is.
Should have been the headline.
Yeah, it should have been Texans revolt against drones.
Right.
Instead, they say, you know, police chief throws out drones. But see, I see it all the time where they go, they call it balance.
Yeah.
And so they'll show both sides. There isn't both sides. I mean, what would you say, 95% of people you talk to don't like drones?
Oh, yeah.
It's like Google glasses.
Yeah, you talk.
Bars are banning them, but they're saying everybody loves them.
Yeah, right.
What do you call that bandwagon effect? I guess that's what it's called, but where they just say, oh, everybody loves it when they don't.
Yeah, it's the, I was once told by, I was being considered to do a show on NPR and the head of one of their programs, was rejecting me, and he said, "We have a wallpaper of sound on NPR, and you're not it."
Wow.
So, but that's the same thing. It's kind of a wallpaper effect. We can just get you kind of mesmerized and thinking that something is
changing. Wait a minute, that's big. So, coming, you know, you're an iconic figure across the board, but especially when it comes to, you know, truly progressive, you know, old-fashioned type populist liberals. You're saying you're in a high-level NPR meeting, you're wanting to get on there, already very successful, and they're saying, because that's it, just mesmerized, droning, yeah. It's all just manila. Yeah, they actually said that to you.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like, well, I had an ABC radio talk show for a while until it got taken over by Disney, ABC did, and I went on the air the next weekend with a Mickey Mouse character saying I was now owned by a rodent.
You know? Oh, I remember that.
They didn't have a lot of humor about that, so I was off the air pretty soon. But, you know, the thing is that the big corporations are willing for us to talk about abortion and about social issues, but don't talk about corporations. Don't talk about money. That's what they don't want discussed. And so
that's right. They like the football issues, gay marriage, that's right. Stuff that'll just go on forever,
exactly.
Fighting.
Yeah, yeah. And pits us against each other, you know, rather than, you know, so we're looking side to side and, you know, instead of looking up. And too often we're looking down at people below us instead of looking up.
Go back, because I interrupted you to expand on how big that was. I mean, tell that story in a little bit of detail. We're a wallpaper of sound. That's
right. Well, that's the kind of mesmerizing thing that, you know, back to what you were saying thing, this effect of convincing people that something is going on when it's not. It's, I mean, obviously used against us all the time. The whole Iraq war, you know, we're now at the 10th anniversary of Iraq, and what a mess and how we got into that under just outright deceit, and I believe intentional deceit.
Oh, it's on record. We have the White House memo, the Downing Street memo,
yeah.
where they said we're fixing the intelligence. Yeah. It's made up. It's not an accident.
Yeah.
And think about that. If they lie about that, they lie about anything. Now our government's putting radicals in Libya and Syria, al-Qaeda and people, and then saying we've got to go into Syria, al-Qaeda's there. I mean, and I was talking to my dad the other night. I said, how did they get away with it? And he said, son, 15 of the 19 hijackers reportedly came from this country, who's our ally, yeah. So we go attack this other country. He goes, they got away with that, they'll do anything.
Yep, yep. And, you know, power will do pretty much anything. And power today is money power, tied, as we saw with Wall Street. And we gotta bail out Wall Street, you know. What about our street? You know, well, no, the jobs are a lagging recovery issue. So that's going to come by and by in the sky when you get pie, you know, but right now we're going to take care of the rest.
So Jim Hightower, summing it, you know, it up, and then other issues I want to cover before you got to go, summing this up, where do you see us going? I guess if we don't stand up and take control of our future, we're getting screwed.
That's it. No, we have to do it, and it's always been that way. Power has never come down to say, let us give a bite of it to you. It's always been taken. And we have to do that in all kinds of different ways. The way you spend your dollars, you know, you can go to spend it with big corporations, or you can go to the farmer's market, or you can buy local, you know, have a local economy.
And that's a revolutionary act. People have to realize Hollywood acts like you've got to fix everything yourself like a hero. It's little things, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. And it don't believe in heroes. You're the hero. A bunch of us little heroes are what make a democracy. Otherwise, it's something given to us, which means it can be taken. So, and again, I see that happening. I see people getting hold of that and beginning to feel some power with that. And that's where I think it's going. Well, it's coming to a clash. You've got too many people knocked down and stomped on these days. You know, even a dog knows the difference between being stumbled over and being kicked. And people know we're being kicked.
We are being kicked. And how hard do you think the kicking's going to get? Because, I mean, do you think we're really rushing towards more authoritarian bent? Or I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, obviously we are. As you mentioned, the militarization of the police in this country is very dangerous for right or left. It's dangerous for America.
Let me ask you this question. When Bush is in, Republicans would accept torture, secret arrests, illegal wars. Obama gets in, they get upset about him doing the same thing. I've always been upset, period, just I'm a constitutionalist.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe in our constitutional republic. But expanding on that, when you talk to, you know, liberals and people and but also populist groups, farmer groups, or paleo-conservative groups around the country, Is there some type of crisis with liberals that we got a Peace Prize president bombing all these countries, or do they feel like my guy's in, we're winning?
No. The progressive side of the Democratic Party, of the Democratic constituency, let's say, has been on Obama from the very start of his first term. You need to be doing this, not. What are you doing? Why are you the surveillance stuff? He's been as bad as Bush, if not in some ways worse. The whistleblowers. His actions against whistleblowers are just shameful, really. That gets very little media attention.
I supported impeachment against George W. Bush. I supported it on Clinton for lying, even though they went after a distractionary issue because it didn't affect all their big money issues. But, people say, well, Alex Bush was bad, so we can't impeach Obama. My deal is, listen, we need to impeach anybody or to get them back in line. And the things Obama's doing are way past Nixon. I mean, where they're saying we spy on all your records, and then Nixon was going to go to jail for that, or is it just, oh, they've already broken our will? I mean, how do we get, because still, if we say it's not partisan, but then we don't go after any president because they all do it, I mean, what do we do to reverse this at the federal level?
Yeah. You can't start at the federal level. Obviously, you're going to talk about what they're doing at the federal level, but real change is going to build from the grassroots up. First, change your city council. Who's your state legislator? And why doesn't that so-and-so even know your name? They live near you. They've got an address. You can go see them. What I say to my audience is make them know your name. Become a presence in their lives. That doesn't have to be confrontational at all times, but they need to say, oh, there's Bob. They know the lobbyists' names, but they need to know our names, and we need to be in their face.
So we've given up our power. I think you talked about it, and this is a theme with people that are really awake. Get out of your trance, yep. Wake up, get serious, do something. In closing, I want to bring up a issue, because I followed you on this over the years, and I have a more populist view. I get the fact that America has been a swashbuckling, violent culture, and that guns are part of our culture. And I also understand the fact that overall violent crime has dropped 49% in the last 20 years because gun ownership's gone way up. They also say we took lead out of things. People aren't as violent. I think that feeds into it, as well, the whole lead effect. But this litmus test to say let's restrict guns, the reason Bloomberg has no credibility is he's speaking from a place that has a total abolition on guns. Same thing with Chicago, where they've taken all the guns and there's higher crime because criminals know that. I want you to take 3 or 4 minutes out where you stand on that, because here's the issue. I can get people arguing, oh, come on, let's not have crazy people get guns. But really, it's a way to register mine and take them, which has happened everywhere else. We know that the authoritarian bent of government, while it arms to the teeth, is to take our guns. And that's why all the even progressives, old-time liberals, true populists, not the fake progressives, they're all out getting guns. Jim Hightower, where do you stand on the Second Amendment, and has Obama and Dianne Feinstein jumped the shark going after the Second Amendment?
I don't think Feinstein. I'm not sure, but forget them. I believe in the Second Amendment. I've been a hunter. I'm not now for reasons having nothing to do with guns, but just not a hunter. But I believe in self-defense. I don't believe in assault weapons in the home. I don't see any need for that, and I think the Second Amendment people are hurting themselves by maintaining that. It's just too far beyond what is necessary.
Well, how do we trust the state with it?
Well, trust the state. That's not.
See, if they weren't,
you can't trust.
If the
state.
Government wasn't escalating its armament,
yeah.
There wouldn't be the Second Amendment argument that it was for tyranny. Do you see? As they escalate,
yeah.
We have to escalate.
Yeah, the 1.6 billion bullets, the Homeland Security, bullets.
Which they tried to deny.
Yeah.
Isn't that even creepier? No,
try to
make your point. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Well, they tried to deny, and then they said, well, it's because you can get a better deal. 1.6 billion bullets.
Yes, so see why we need the guns?
Yeah,
go
right.
Ahead.
Yeah, so you don't trust the government. You don't trust corporations. You don't trust power anywhere except as diffuse as you can possibly make it.
So in that argument for semi-autos?
No. I think that's too much.
Why do you think that?
Because semi-automatic weapons, you don't need it for defense. I don't know if you've seen any of what those bullets do. Yeah, they just show any, of course. Of
they break bullets. Up and things. But what about when? What about people are using them against criminals, have them against you?
Yeah.
Don't you need to be able to meet that force?
I think there's a lot of ways to do that, and I don't think that.
Well, Jim, I respect the work you've done, and I think you're a trailblazer. And Ford, you know, what you call populist liberals, I think you're about as good as it gets, and I like you. And I like a lot of your commentaries. I've followed them, but I got to be honest. It's a litmus test for the Democratic Party to be anti-gun. And I think deep down you know full well that it's about the individual. We can't collectively say everybody can't have these type of guns because people might do something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. I'm not against having guns at all. I'm for the Second Amendment. But I think the Second Amendment crusade hurts itself by defending these use of these assault weapons. I don't think they ought to be
Lanza at Sandy Hook, reportedly, he tried five times to get guns and then stole them from his mother.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to...
No, I agree.
So then how does all this new stuff...
You're not going to stop the crazy people either.
Well, what if Adam Lanza's coming and he's got an AR-15 and M4? Don't I need one to take him out?
Well, or you need luck. Or you need somebody else who's going to do something.
Trust in God, but roll away from the rocks, though?
Yeah, right, yeah. I don't know. To me, the central issue facing us is that too few people have too much of the money and power, and they're using that against the rest of us.
But Jim, worldwide, the same corporations that are conquering America have taken everybody's guns, and they always say, be reasonable, give us semi-autos, and then nice guys like you, who are like, you know, don't want to hurt a fly, don't want to hunt, because you don't want to kill Bambi. It's funny, the older I get, the less I want to hunt. I get all that, but see, that's not where it's coming from. They're buying full auto. They're buying tanks. Mm-hmm. They're doing all this. And our founder said, you've got whatever the infantry weapon is to protect yourself. Are you worried about a civil war in this country?
Not yet. But there's, again, people are being knocked down so hard and being told that it's the new normal, that you've got to learn to live with this. You're not going to be middle class. Mm-hmm. Your kids are not going to be middle class. That there will be a rebellion over that. And that's not a war with bullets and guns. That is a war with economic power.
I agree. That's where the real power is. And the First Amendment's even more powerful. We need to use that so we don't get to the second. We have the cartridge box, the grand jury box, the jury box, the voting box. But we do have the cartridge box, and that's why the founders put it there. And I don't want it to go there, believe me. Final question. What were some of your favorite commentaries you've done in the last year, and what are some of the commentaries you got coming up next week, and how do people hear them?
You can hear them by going to jimhightower.com get all kinds of stuff, the schedule that I've got, you can hear the radio commentaries on that. I'm on about 250 radio stations around.
This is 150. It's grown. Okay, good. 250.
And we've got listings of that in your area.
Wow, congratulations.
And then books I write and all that sort of stuff. So you can be in touch with everything I do, and particularly the newsletter through jimhightower.com. We connect up through there.
I know you're really pro-Second Amendment all the way. You just know your listeners will get too mad at you. Hey, you want to go shooting sometime?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to go shooting? I got a shooting ship.
I'm going to shoot some pool.
Do you like to shoot, period?
No.
Growing up, you did some shooting growing up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, I grew up in a small Texas town. Of course you went.
What did you like better, bird hunting or deer hunting?
We didn't have deer. So birds, rabbits and birds, ducks.
Did you go hunt with Grandpa?
My father and uncle. And then just us boys would go out, and that was dangerous because we were screwballs.
You know what? Statistically, you can't penalize everybody just because some people are crazy. So what's coming up next week on the show?
I'm doing a piece right now on Monsanto and its ability to the way it got to monopolize the seed industry and what that means to us. You know, that sounds like, who cares about the seed?
Well, you've seen the rats, they feed that stuff. It looks like they've been hit by bullets.
Right.
What else is coming up next week?
Let's see, what am I doing? I've got a piece on some good news pieces on people fighting back at a local level, particularly on this fracking. And on the pipeline, XL pipeline.
It is screwing up the water table in many areas.
It's horrible. If you go to those areas where it's, including here in Texas, but, up in Pennsylvania and New York's got a moratorium right now where they're daring to actually consider what this might mean.
Well, some companies do a good job, but too many of them just
oh, yeah, it's
that's another case.
They steal from you, basically, because yeah. They come in and they make lies about, you know, what you're going to get out of it, and then suddenly your water's contaminated, your neighbor's water's contaminated. You got townspeople fighting against each other because a couple of them got rich and everybody else got screwed, you know, so... And the companies just smile, and they talk about jobs, but the jobs are just very, very short-term, not even a year, and then they're gone. And they do that
for... I've seen that in East Texas where they're doing a lot of fracking and stuff, and for a year or two, boom,
yeah.
And then it's all gone.
They're out of town.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go to break. Let me walk you out during the break. Stay right there, my friend. Jim, thanks for coming in.
Glad to be with you.
Really exciting. Jim Hightower. You know what I like about Jim Hightower? It is his fighting spirit. And you know what? I am going to fight him right back with my fighting spirit on the Second Amendment. But overall, on so many issues, he's a great guy. And that's what's sad about the anti-Second Amendment folks. And we're going to have to defeat them. Because they're really good guys, most of them. They just are being fooled by the New World Order that's arming against us. No, seriously. See, now that I've cut your mic off, I'm teasing. Your mic's on. Hey, we're going to go to break and come back with the conclusion of InfoWars Nightly News. I taped this yesterday. Christy Hightower. Are you related to her?
No.
We have to find. Did you meet her? She's there in the office. Oh, really? You did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. I guess she heard you were here and came over. Christy Hightower, no relation to Mr. Hightower. She's going to come back with the Ask Alex segment, and then that's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News.
Thank you, Alex.
You will not get my gun. Sorry.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Jakari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle and the RAD Eliminator Pro filtered sports bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever-popular grab-and-go-bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest Shower Filter System. And the Aquapod Kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
InfoWars Magazine is more than just our answer to the internet kill switch. We're also going back to the roots of this country. When our founders, for a decade before 1776, known as the pamphleteers, with hundreds of little printing presses in every colony, got out the real news, the real information, and countered the system. This is tailored, designed with the truth to wake up your friends and family. This is the 21st century version of the pamphleteers. So get them at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up and buy them in bulk. Sign up and be a micro distributor for a full year to buy them in bulk and get one of the newsstands added, or sign up and get 12 issues delivered to your door or give a gift subscription. Whatever you do, be part of the fight. And I want to salute and thank all of you that are subscribers and are getting the magazine in bulk, or who have ever come to InfoWarsStore.com and bought any of our products, because we are supported by patriots and liberty lovers like you. We couldn't do it without you.
Hey, I'm Christy Hightower. We are back with another Ask Alex segment. If you have questions for this, it's at the Ask Alex group on planetinfowars.com. And so before we get started, though, Alex wanted me to kind of cover some of the South by Southwest crew that we had on the streets of Austin. So, Alex, did you have anything you wanted me to specifically talk about? Or
no, I mean, you're about to ask me these questions that I have not seen yet.
I loved
like the great Karnak with the envelope. So I can answer some of them, obviously not some of the others, but I wanted to talk about, because you were down there for, I guess, 5-6 days you guys did it.
7 days, but yeah.
Okay, 7 days. We were only going to do like three, but they tried to kick us out of there, so we thought, hey, we better take our streets back. So I wanted to ask you your take on the InfoWars street team and what they did and what happened.
Oh, it was awesome. We hit the streets with 10,000. Can I see that InfoWars magazine?
Sure.
We hit the streets with 10,000 of these bad boys, and we got rid of all of them. And, yeah, I hope you can see it here. And we also have the contest. So the objective basically was to get the word out about the InfoWars magazine.
All right, show them the contest page.
And then we have the amazing Paul Revere contest. I've been telling all my friends about it. You have film abilities? Check this out. $100,000. So we basically hired a really great street team. It kind of varied from day to day. We had some, like, 10 girls one day. We had, like, 6 girls and a couple of guys the next day. It was great momentum that we had going. So we got rid of 10,000 magazines. We got to put these in 10,000 people's hands. And they weren't just the people that live in here in Austin. They were people from Korea. They were people from Japan. They were people from everywhere who were here for South.
Well, the reason it's important is it's also the intelligentsia of film, IT interactive, and music. So you're really targeting a key group with the message of liberty. Exactly. And that's why all the street teams that have been working down there for years had never heard of people saying you can't hand out magazines.
It was absurd. And the thing is, okay, that's the issue that I wanted to talk about, was that we had beautiful street team, like girls, guys, everybody handing these out, and they got harassed by the police, who came up and didn't even know what they were doing. They didn't even have an ordinance to cite. They said, you're just not allowed to do it. And they literally wrote us a ticket. I'm sure that we've done a couple of pieces by now on the physical ticket. And the girls were just beside themselves because they didn't know what was going on or why they couldn't or couldn't do it.
People at first, when I just shot a video, I was in Galveston on vacation with family Friday night when this happened. I talked to the police. I talked to the code enforcer on the phone when they were down there. You guys would hand the phone over.
Yeah.
And people were like, this isn't true.
Right.
Why don't you show us? Well, I was in Galveston.
Right.
You know, we have free speech zones. We have people being arrested all over the country for filming police in public. And then we've got people still in denial. And that's why this tyranny is getting so bad. When we first had a story on Sunday about how they were announcing that they were going to take 10% out of people's bank accounts in Cyprus across the board.
Scary.
Again, InfoWars had links to the foreign press, and people were saying, you're a liar, it's not happening. And then, of course, now that it's admitted, we're still liars. And it just shows that people are totally in denial, and that's what's encouraging all this tyranny. That's what encourages the former press secretary, Robert Gibbs, to lie and say there is no international drone program, even though it was a program on record.
Absolutely.
That's what encourages them to say there's no 2 billion bullets, is that it is now a sacrament or a shield of ignorance in America to value your ignorance. And you're not winning by living in a delusional la-la land. I want you out of Alice in Wonderland, the media system, the dinosaur media deception system, and to go and start researching and waking up and getting out of your trance. I mean, you talk to people. Are they connected? Are they awake? Are you able to talk to them? Or are they just not even real, like in their own world? And that's really our problem in America. Then I had people going in and out of the South by Southwest buildings, coming over and going, get a life, Alex. You shouldn't be down here to us and stuff.
See, your own borders are again your make-believe movie star crap and your local Austin Chronicle Mafia. I came back to Austin because you told my crew that you're not all magazine. I'm going to wake up and yell at you out of the matrix.
I pay taxes. I live here in Austin.
Yeah.
I can't hand out magazines about freedom in America. And then some people are like, okay, it's bad, but what's the big deal? Well, then, I mean, there are no rights then if you're just going to say, what's the big deal? So that's why we did it, and the March issue has almost sold out in bulk in groups of 10 up to 100. Buy it at cost. Big, glossy color magazine. And I'm just so thrilled to be getting these out to people, exposing the deep, dark secrets of the New World Order. This is so important for you to wake up, friends and family, because now that print is going out, there's now a nostalgia forming, and people are really into it.
Just like records. Just like records.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're going to hit the trendies with that, Alex. Make it cool to be in paper again.
Yeah. It's, well, I'm predicting.
Urban Outfitters to start selling.
I predicted a while ago that would happen. It's actually happening.
Absolutely. Polaroids, everything. It's all.
You can also get a subscription at InfoWarsStore.com. But enough of that. We are financed by your support. With this, it's just pure love because we put it out at cost.
Yeah.
But get us a yearly subscription or get them in bulk. Now, that's my little thing up front with Ask Christy, as we call it. It's really Ask Alex.
Yeah, it's the joke around the office. Like, let's ask Christy. I'm like, no, I don't know everything, Alex. You're the one that everyone wants to talk to. Alex, you seem to be a bit of a space nerd sometimes, which I like how they started. Have you looked into the Mars One mission at all? And I just got my hoodie and coffee mug in the mail. It seems as though the foundation legitimately wants to start sending immigrants to Mars by 2023. So I think this is a noble endeavor. And what do you think of this? This group, have you heard of them either?
Man, I'm gonna have to start reading this stuff.
No,
to show how ignorant I am. Here, I'll search it right now. The Foundation Mars. Let me see if I...
The Mars One mission. Yeah, I've been seeing this everywhere as well.
I've heard about the mission where they want to send people there, but right. I didn't know about a group that's going to fund it. I thought it was going to be NASA. So, nope, can't answer that question either.
All right, well, we'll have to come back to it. All right, so this is from Tim Gunnison, and he says, I just watched the video with Melissa Melton, women arrested for attempting to block smart meter installation. And I know this was a few weeks ago, but...
Made people really angry, yeah.
It's still very relevant, and this is why. This person actually reveals. It says, and I was starting to wonder, maybe I feel so bad because the smart meters are on my apartment. To tell you the truth, I have a ground floor apartment at the end of the building with all of the smart meters, and I don't know about
you. Oh, my God.
But I've seen this at apartment complexes, too, at my apartment complex.
Oh, listen.
The whole wall.
We ought to go out, you see all these apartment buildings, but our business parks with all the antennas and cell phones right on top. And then when you go up to the signs up next to them, it says, don't get close to this.
Yeah.
In fact, I shot a video just last week on YouTube showing it over by Opal Divines, you know, down from it at the park there. There's one, and it's got signs, don't get near it, but right next to it's the office park. And they know they've been linked to cancer. Yeah. They know it's been linked to all these problems. And again, people say, well, why do you have a cell phone then? No, it's incredibly convenient. I know what's going on. I try not to use it too much.
Yeah.
But we are just bathed in this. And undoubtedly, the GMO, the additives, the frequency pollution, just the new light bulbs they've mandated. I mean, you go in a place with them, you get a headache, and it gives out on average something like 40,000 times the amount of radiation that an old light bulb gave out. Jeez. I mean, so yes, we are being bathed, and people say, well, the sun bathes you in that. But certain frequencies we're accustomed to, and then you get too much, it burns your nose off.
Oh,
I mean, you know, that's an example of what all this stuff is doing to us.
Well, that was some of the symptoms. Those were some of the symptoms that this person lists. It says, I've gone to the doctor with rashes, with lumps, that they seem to come and go. I feel like my heart is in my throat, and but the doctors always check me out as fine. So I think...
Sounds like it's time to move.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's mainly a lot of mothers around the country, including, you know, middle-class people in high-end neighborhoods, notice that as soon as they go in... Suddenly their family starts getting sick.
Yeah.
And listen, it's not just that. The smart meters dial in and break in to all of the different appliances in your house that are all designed to be hijacked by them. And they brag about this.
Yeah.
So it's a robot attached to the side of your house, an imperial probe droid. And you know what Chewbacca did to that?
We need to copyright some of your phrases, Alex.
No, but I am a space nerd. I mean, the planet's tiny compared to all this stuff around us, and I find it really, really interesting. And I'm ashamed I don't know what the Mission to Mars Foundation is.
All right, so Alex, you mentioned doping the kids up on...
What is it that Christy makes me act goofy?
We're here. I mean, everything is very, very serious all day long, and it just feels good to laugh sometimes. So
and run around crazy.
And, you know, throw boots in the air and...
Make Harlem shake.
Was that fun?
Oh my gosh, that was well done. I'm not gonna lie, and I don't think anybody realized that it said with the terrorists. Like, I don't think anybody realized it.
And I don't think people got that's us running around doing that. I'm the guy with the skull mask. So we're gonna replay just the Harlem shake part right now for you. Here it is.
Con los terroristas.
And by the way, if you watch there where the guy in the steel skull mask goes rolling, I trip over dude. Who's like the giant cigarette box or whatever it was.
Obama head.
Yeah, the Obama head. He only got a box out of the back and did that. And that's real where I roll. Anyways. All right, continuing. Next question.
All of the techno. Alex, roll. Cut that out. No, I'm kidding. All right, so Alex, you mentioned doping the kids all the time on Ritalin. And obviously Ritalin isn't the drug that's readily used anymore. But what are some of the harmful side effects / long-term? And you talk about this all the time, but I think it's really valuable to bring back up because he suggests, he's like, perhaps the more underlying question, do you think ADD and ADHD are real or fictional diseases?
No, they just take problems in society and general things like young boys not minding, running around hyperactive, beating each other up.
Right.
And then they list that as abnormal. Whereas you take any mammal species, especially like male dogs, puppies.
Okay.
They're biting each other. They're biting you. They're running around chewing the carpet. And now, actually, they put them on serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They put dogs on antidepressants. If your six-month-old puppy is teething and wanting to go outside and craps on the floor, well, just drug your dog. Because everybody knows dogs have always, you know, done that, had to have drugs. So going back like 10 years ago, I'd say, you know what? Puppies act like this. We don't drug them.
Right.
But now they actually do it. So I shouldn't give them ideas. But if I was to give my puppy, let's say, a Coca-Cola, it would act like a demonic demon.
Absolutely.
And so children are on all these dyes, these additives. It's a wonder they're even operating at any, you know, functional level. And then they go to school. I mean, remember when I was a kid, the vending machines were Twinkies and Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. And I remember like an hour after I did it, I'd feel horrible. I want another one. Well, it's designed to do that. And so we don't get them off Twinkies. We don't get them off Coca-Cola. We don't get them off GMO, aspartame. We don't get them off fluoride. We just say, oh, this 10-year-old seems depressed. He's got zits all over his face. Looks like a concentration camp victim. It's not his nutrition. Or it's not he's watching TV 7-8 hours a day and video games. It's not that the parents are working till late at night. It's not that the family's been broken up. It's that you need a drug made by a big drug company who, by the way, knew that people died and committed suicide in the trials. Then when there's suicides and deaths, the answer is put more kids on drugs. Then there's more suicide death. Then the answer is more suicide death.
Yeah.
And then the answer is more drugs. And it says on the insert, makes you do this.
Right.
But in the land of mindlessness, that's a crime to admit that.
Yeah. Well said. Absolutely. All right. So the next question, can we know for sure that the backlog of gun orders is caused by the people getting them for themselves and not by the government-induced gun shortage, like the mass DHS ammo purchases? How do we know that it's not civilians buying up guns and not?
Well, number one, the people always call us civilians and the government the government. The government's civilians. They're citizens.
Which is like that distinction.
It's like exactly. It's like you're a civilian now. Okay. Mayors call people civilians. You know, I'm an official. You're a civilian.
There's like 10 people.
You're just a citizen. That means you pay me money. But no, I mean, it's a cocktail of things. People are always, is it this or is it that?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think of this psychological field or that psychological field? Well, there's something in all of them. I'm into unifying field theory because there's a lot of, you know, good information basically in anything out there. But you've got to take from it what has worked for you in the world, what you found to be true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about scientists saying they discovered something. You know, like you'll always see these British explorers saying, I discovered this, you know, this Incan temple up on top of this Peruvian plateau. And then you go up there, and there's villagers living in the ruins, and then they're the ones that told them, there's ruins on top of a mountain. And then you'll find out some Spanish explorer really found it for Westerners 500 years before.
Yeah.
But they'll just spin it like that. So everyone has their own little fields of science saying this is the way it is, like it's religions fighting with each other. Instead of just more discovery and science and ideas and renaissance growing, so... You know, when they ask the question, how do we know it's not the citizens buying ammo that's causing the shortage? Citizens buying ammo is part of the shortage. But government placing orders for 2 billion rounds, a billion of which have been delivered, and then a billion rounds out into the next year and more orders, that's causing the run on it. And so when you do have the run on something, then hoarding starts.
Yeah.
But it's also good business. You know, if you go out and buy a bunch of ammo, like a lot of people knew would happen, knowing Obama would come after it a few years ago, those people are now at the gun shows saying, yeah, I'm the only one that has it left. I'm a free market guy. I waited till, you know, they tried to restrict all this, and now the 50 cal I bought for $5,000 selling for
$20,000. Wow.
Or now the box of 223 I bought for $5 is now $30.
Do you think it's worth it for those guys to sell it at this right now? Because if the value of the dollar is going to go down, what's the point of getting $15,000 for your gun that you bought at $5,000 now?
Well, it's all a balance, and it's all what you do. You know,
okay.
I mean, it's all objective.
Okay.
I mean, they can now digitally just take all your money out of your bank account. They're saying they may do it. People say, well, then what do you do? Gold and silver. Well, they could confiscate that. That's many layers more hard to actually get it from you.
Yeah.
So it's all just, people say, well, they could still get that. Well, then just roll over in a ditch then, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
People say, it's a terrible world. Why are you having kids? Well, I haven't given up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good.
Next question.
Next question. All right. What correlations do you do you believe there to be with recent revolutions and past revolutions, such as the French Revolution and the subsequent terror? And do you believe it is the fate of all revolutions to be hijacked by moneyed interests? One does, and this is a George Orwell quote, this is the end of the question. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes a revolution in order to establish a dictatorship.
Yes, generally revolutions are one group of wannabe aristocrats, one group of oligarchs, wannabe oligarchs, who generally come from the governing class who want to make themselves king. And that's why I'm against physical revolutions or collectivist revolutions, because they always lead to a nightmare. I want a revolution of ideas to restore the ideas of the Enlightenment, to restore the ideas of the Renaissance, to restore the ideas of true human individuality and empowerment. And through that move towards individualism, you will set up automatic bulwarks which will frustrate and stop any collectivist model, whether it be fascism, socialism, any of it.
So like a cultural movement, just like with the GMOs, the Prop 37, that was a huge like spike in people's interest. Because
yeah, it's a velvet revolution.
Yeah.
And the establishment tries to push their own and always act like their tyranny is the cutting trendy edge, you know, of something new, but it's all just more collectivism, more centralization.
Yeah.
Because the big guys don't want competition.
No, of course not.
I mean, I don't have an instinct to try to crush smaller people, but a lot of other talk show hosts do.
Yeah.
Then there's also people who want to be the revolutionaries to have power who will actually attack me and say that I've tried to squash them with no evidence because they're playing the part of a revolutionary and casting me as the government. So, again, there's all the seeds of the next dictatorship within each new revolution. And so I want a restoration to the Bill of Rights and Constitution, which was never fully realized, but became the greatest expression of human liberty because a shadow of it was realized.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, every day I work here, I appreciate the Constitution more and more. It's true. I read that little booklet that we send out with orders.
Well, I mean, we've got to go say, hey, Constitution, back off. And it still has some power like a cross to a vampire. They still go, we'll be back next time.
Yeah.
You know, and as soon as I left, they're back again.
Shall not be infringed.
But I mean, they know to just keep coming until you give up.
Yeah.
They know to just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Well we've got to learn to keep coming, keep coming, keep coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, well, that's tiring. It's a lot more tiring being a slave.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Absolutely.
Product placement. I haven't plugged these yet on air. The new InfoWars mugs are in, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, they're so cool. They hold 15 ounces, too. They're bigger than
I mean, this is my favorite design. That's why I picked it.
That's awesome.
You know, this type of cup. But what's even better is that you get a good coffee cup and you fund our operation. That's why they're cool.
Absolutely. That last question, I wanted to give a shout out to Codex 317. So good, really good.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Yeah. All right, so this next one is, after the tribulation, the movie, what an eye opener. I've never believed in the pre-tribulation, like rapture, but the enormity and intensity of the tribulation didn't hit me until I saw this movie. After I saw it, a question kept coming to me. Here's my question, Alex. Considering that surveillance techniques and weapons of the one world government, apologize, flipping the page.
How dare you?
I know. Are so advanced, is there any hope that any of us could survive the tribulation through survival techniques? Aren't we just postponing, buying some time by prepping?
That's an incredibly complex question. It's also a very good question.
That was Catherine, by the way.
The New World Order is going to be rolled out in actuaried, computerized, preset, pre-designed requisites where it rolls out incrementally against the population and against the weakest population, and we'll always have cover stories for why it's doing it for groups that are above them.
Okay.
But then in the end game, it's actually moving up towards people with more and more money. So most tyrannies first start with weak groups to sell the upper classes that it's okay. Because they know upper classes like to be on a power trip and feel like they're not going to be affected. But this one is moving against the poorest, but also moving against the middle class. So it's vectoring out. And just by becoming self-sufficient, just by doing little things like a garden or buying organic or talking to your neighbors, it's not just one track. There's not just evil in the world. The good is in the world. But we just kind of look at this big giant system and marvel at it and think, I can never defeat it. But it's made up of billions of little parts. When you start doing things with your will and taking action and voting with your dollars and supporting alternative real media, you build new systems and new ecosystems.
Weren't you talking about that earlier? You were saying that the only way to establish like something new is to just do it yourself, like outside of the system.
Absolutely, and the universe turns towards it. It's magic. Yeah. I don't mean magic like a bubble, toil and trouble, you know, pinch of this and pinch of that, eye of newt and tail of weasel. I mean, I'm not talking about that. I mean, just going out and doing things, going out and creating things threatens the system.
Yeah.
Early on, the establishment, I didn't know one-tenth of what I know now, came after me, the local kind of mafia media establishment in Austin.
Scared.
And the very same people that, Lewis Black that runs the Chronicle, that runs South by Southwest, you know, was just trying to hammer me and shut me down and writing incredible lies, cover stories, just whole cloth, none of it true.
Yeah.
Like where you, but people would believe it because how could this whole thing be made up? Works of fiction. Do what?
Did you sue him?
Number one, I've always had the instinct that stuff like that will come back on people.
Okay.
And plus, I know enough about lawsuits because I have sued people like that threatened my sister and stuff and made it, you know, because then you got to. And I ended up winning those things, but, you know, it's Rob Dew, you know, won a lawsuit for being, falsely arrested in Pittsburgh, but, you know, sometimes you have to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't even have people out there watching on Water World even know who I'm talking about. It's just that whatever you've got on top, there's smaller models of it up close. And they're not there trying to shut down little guys because they think you're pathetic and weak. They're trying to shut you down if they see real talent because, you know, this is their game.
Yeah.
No, these streets belong to them.
Uh-oh. It's like a turf war.
Well, it's what we think of. We've been taught that the mafia is only Italians. By the archetypal thing of New Jersey, New York, going, buddy, you don't hand that out on the streets here. But, I mean, they try that everywhere. It didn't work too well in many areas that were more frontier just because people weren't going to bow to anybody.
Yeah. They had self-respect. I feel like a lot of people on the streets of Austin, it was really fascinating because we had, for South By and the crew, there was every kind of person you could imagine. And the thing is, like, they didn't know how to approach the magazine, a lot of them. They saw the gun and they saw the American flag and it scared them. It was like, they were like, oh my God, I'm in America. I don't know what that means. So just side note, but that was.
No, you're absolutely right. That's why it is a provocative cover.
Yeah.
A gun and the, flag.
I had a lot of people that were surprising. You know, they dressed like the typical hipster with the tight skinny jeans and wearing the PBR, you know, whatever the thing is.
Beards.
The beard is huge, especially here in Austin. They would jump out of the group of their friends as I was trying to hand them out on the streets, like, to get this magazine. So it was also surprising to see the kind of people that I wouldn't assume would want this, but they, like, leapt at me for it. So I feel, you've said this before, but people are really hungry for the truth. And you know, like you said before, we're not always 100%, but the thing is, like, our goal is to tell the truth. And so I think a lot of mainstream media forgets that.
Well said, Lord Vader.
Going back to your, the one man doing something, the two guys you had in today doing the printable gun thing.
Yeah.
They are putting fear into people's hearts.
Exactly. The printable gun revolution.
I mean, three guys.
And it shows, or Bitcoin, or any of this.
In case
and it doesn't mean the system might not try to block those guys, or might not try to block Bitcoin. But still, the idea gets out there, and it shows how more people doing things like that. If the globalists crush them, it'll make them martyrs.
Yeah.
So they've quietly tried to block them, but that only blew up in their face too. See. People out there resonate with justice, folks. That's why you've got to get in the arena. Totally. And then the system will try to keep you down. But that's only pure proof of how much power you've got. I mean, it's you've got to engage the enemy. You've got to get in the arena.
Absolutely. I like it. I like the energy that we get from these Ask Alex. They make me very happy. All right. So, Alex, I was wondering if you've ever heard of or had any feedback on Dr. Wilhelm Reich. He was a scientist from the 1930s.
Reich, yeah.
Is it Reich? I apologize for saying it wrong.
No.
He was a scientist from the 30s.
It's potato patata, but they all William Reich.
Cool. He discovered and managed to measure a previously undiscovered form of energy, which he named Orgon energy. And the United States government ruined his reputation, just like we were talking about right now, and tried to disprove his findings.
Yeah, let me be clear. They've discovered the dark matter, and they've discovered that there's a hard wiring holding everything in together.
Mm-hmm.
And they've discovered the God particle and the rest of it. He obviously was able to pick up on some of what Tesla called the ether.
Uh-huh.
But then he also kind of got far afield, as I've heard some of the recordings, as he got older. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of quacks have come and picked up what he did and discredited a lot of what he's done. So it's both.
By not being able to recreate his experiments or...
Or by just saying they're selling, you know, orgone generators, or they're, or they've developed things that will cure cancer, or, you know, this system will do that. I mean, there's something to what he discovered, and he was very, you know, visionary. And the ancients and the occultists, you know, are into, you know, shapes and energies and things. There's definitely something to it.
Right.
It's just that it's hard to quantify. It's like they've proven there's a sixth sense. Mm-hmm. They've proven that there is clairvoyance, but it's not very controllable. So you've got quacks then that claim they're totally psychic.
Right.
But then I personally have had dreams that I call waking dreams that actually come true. And you know when you're having one.
Uh-huh.
It freaks you out because it happened a lot more when I was young. That's why I think young people, you know, are more psychic or whatever before the world gets to them, all the things. So I know there's a lot of stuff out there. And that's all spiritual people are. We're saying we know there's stuff out there that hasn't been understood or discovered. And the atheists are like, no, it's only this. And they always seem, the ones I know, to buy into whatever the official line is. It's like questioning means, you know, you're a kook. But it's also kind of both because I've looked into him.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting. Yeah. I haven't looked into alternative energy.
Rife generators, all of it. Yeah.
It seems really interesting.
It's a minefield.
I can imagine. Like life. All right. So this is the last question. Alex, I'm 62 years old and I've been on antidepressant medication since I was my early teens. I had no criminal record and I've never thought of hurting another person. I've tried on many occasions to stop this medication, but, never works. I end up on major depressive episodes, etc. And I just wanted to say that I hope that you consider the fact that not all people on antidepressant medicines are prone to mass shootings. And I'll finish this question. But even violence towards other humans. I own guns, but have never used them for any purpose other than hunting. I could never live with myself if I was to kill an innocent person. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, not everybody that takes LSD goes and jumps off a 20-story balcony.
Right.
I'm sure there are some people, however, they're chemically wired, that, you know, one man's poison is another person's,
It's true. I drink red wine and I get calf cramps. I have to take a ton of magnesium to supplement for that. So that's my.
Yeah, so, you know, one person's trash, another man's treasure. So they're kind of oversimplifying their question. I'm not criticizing them. I'm saying that if you look at it, almost every mass shooter has been on antipsychotics or psychotropics, and the inserts admit that in a certain statistical part, it takes the inhibition away. As soon as I heard that a guy killed a cop a few months ago in Austin, just in cold blood for no reason in a Walmart, I said, he'll be on antidepressants, and he was.
Yeah.
He mixed alcohol with him.
Ugh.
And the guy was like a zombie walking around with a gun, and the cop walks up and he just shoots him. And I said, and they described him as zombie-like. Well, he's on drugs.
Yeah.
And it's prescription drugs that do that. And, you know, if you've been wired up on these drugs a long time, your brain gets where they're addicted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess that person's probably been put on more and more over the years.
Yeah.
Because it stops working. I mean, I've known people that are on a bunch of psychotropics, and they're happy as can be. But again, when are they going to have that bad trip?
Yeah.
Okay. Acid for most people doesn't hurt them, but the wrong person takes it, you know, right, they kill their whole family.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is these are very dangerous drugs in the hallucinogen class in the psychotropic family. And they're in the general hallucinogen class, psychotropic family.
Mm-hmm.
They are hallucinogenic and they put you in a trance daydream area. And sure, you're probably a really nice person, so that's fine. You're not a danger. They're going to try to say you can't own guns soon because you're on these drugs.
Yeah.
Because statistically, I don't think you should lose your right because they'll just use that to take my right. I'm not on them, but you know, I say let the felons all have guns.
Yeah.
Because they're not making felons some guy that releases balloons to his girlfriend. The guy's going to go to jail for felonies, environmental endangerment. So again, my issue is that psychotropics have been connected to this. They're forcing them on people. And I'm not saying go off of them for you. I'm saying they have regimens, doctors have regimens to go off them over several months, very slowly, get extra sun, get extra exercise. There's a lot of supplements that in major studies, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm talking about what I've read, St. John's wort, so many other things that have, in double blind studies, a better effect than the Prozac type drugs. So there's also natural things you can do. And of course they say don't really mess, a lot of doctors I talk to say, well, they're trying to mess with serotonin. Why not? why not deal with all these other things that are in your body? I mean, there's other alternatives out there.
Well, and most of it's in your gut. Like 80% or 70% of your serotonin is actually in your gut. So, I mean, everyone's been misinformed thinking it's only in your brain. But actually what that means is you need to eat healthy, because if your gut isn't absorbing the right nutrients, you're going to feel like crap.
Exactly. And when the gut's connected to all those nerves that go right to the brain.
Exactly.
Right to the spinal cord nerve endings. It's just amazing. Well, that's a great question, and that was a great Ask Christy.
Well, thank you guys again for all of the questions. Keep them coming in the Ask Alex group on planetinfowars.com. We'll try to get these out a little more. I'll bug Alex a little more here to get them out to you a little more often.
Something you could also do is maybe come in once a week, but like have a timer, 10 minutes on air to answer the questions.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
In here on the radio. We could do that and then go back and forth between the two.
I could absolutely do that.
I think it's good. I love the wild card. It's a way for folks to get their questions on air.
It's true.
Great job, Christy. Great job with your questions out there at planetinfowars.com, the Patriot Pro Liberty Worldwide Social Network. And we take you back now to InfoWars Nightly News.